The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
So, how do we discern the signs of the Lord's return?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I'm telling you the truth. I love being on the air with you 5 days a week. The only regret I have is that we can't do more hours every day. I would do it with great joy. It is my privilege to spend this time with you. Thanks for tuning in. 866-34-TRUTH. All of our new listeners, welcome to the broadcast. Can we get to know you better and let you get to know us better? Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Scroll around, see who we are, what we do, what we can offer you, how we can help you, how we can infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord, to help you be healthy, spirit, mind, and body. And then sign up for emails. Right there on the website, askdrbrown.org. The box will be right there. Easy to do. Take you a few seconds. This one will put you on our welcome tour, share more about my personal testimony from LSD to PhD, tell you about the three R's of our ministry, and introduce you to the many free resources we have to serve you and help you and equip you. If you have our app, it's Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. You can sign up for the emails there. If you don't have the app, what are you waiting for? ASK DR Brown Ministries. Okay, I'll be taking your calls on any subject under the sun you want to talk about. So get in now if you want to get an open line. This way we'll be able to get you a little later in the show, 866-34-TRUTH. But here's what I want to do today. If you've listened to me for any length of time, when we talk about the end times, I do not believe in a pre-trib rapture. I don't divide over it. Some of the finest Christians on the planet do hold to it and have held to it for years. Some of them have been good friends, co-workers. I've worked with some people literally for 40 years, and I don't know where they stand on it. It's just never come up as an area that we've divided on. But here's what I want to do today. If I did believe in a pre-trib rapture, which many of you do, right? So I'm not putting you down for it. I'm not saying you're stupid, you're ignorant. No. I understand where you're coming from. I held to that belief very sincerely for the first 4 or 5 years in the Lord. But if you do hold to it, are there signs? Is it just going to happen out of the blue? In other words, just like another broadcast for me, and I'm sitting here broadcasting, and maybe you're a homeschooling mom and you're busy with the kids, or maybe you're a student in high school, or maybe you're training for a sports event or something, whatever. You're just going about your business. You know, somebody's cooking over here, someone's digging a ditch over here, and without any sign, warning, anything, boom, we're just out of here. Is that the way it's going to happen? Or should we know? Not by some kind of calculation. Well, I found a secret code here, or I found something hidden in meaning of the Hebrew, the first word of Genesis, and so on and so forth. You know, we've debunked those things, which are really nonsense, unfortunately. But I'm trying to calculate some formula and discover something, which everyone that's tried to discover it thus far has been 100% failure rate, 100% failure rate. But are there things that the Bible tells us will happen? Or an idea that makes it clear that something is near? We're going to look at a number of scriptures here. So I'm not debating pre-trib rapture with you. I'm saying, let's say I believe that, which many of you do. So I want to come at it from that perspective, as we've done a number of shows talking about the end times because of widely published videos, widely watched videos saying that Jesus is returning to, or will rapture his church before 2023 is out. And they say, no, it's off by 7 years, actually 2030, etc., and on and on. And the dates will keep shifting, of course, when none of them come to pass. So that's not my focus. My focus is, let's say we believe in a pre-trib rapture. So this is before a seven-year tribulation. This is before the Antichrist is revealed. This is before the final wrath of God poured out on the earth. It's before all that. We'll just be taken out before that happens. If I believe that, could I see in the Bible that it's just going to happen out of the blue? So you live every day as if Jesus could return. You live every moment as if Jesus could return, because you never know when we'll be out of here. Or even with the pre-trib rapture, are there some kinds of signs? Is there some indication so that we will know that the end is very, very near, or our departure is very, very near? All right, so let's look at some scripture together. I want to start in Matthew chapter 24, one of the best-known prophetic passages in the Bible. Matthew 24. We're going to start in verse 29. All right, Matthew 24, 29. The original context has to do with the destruction of the temple, but the disciples also asked about the coming of the Lord and the end of the age. So in their mind, it was all one and the same event, and Jesus puts everything together in one because he's answering two very distinct questions. Matthew 24, beginning verse 29. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So this now is going to describe what everyone agrees is the second coming. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other. So unless you hold to what is called preterism, and Chris, leave this scripture up there as I'm talking, unless you hold to what is called preterism and say that referred to the destruction of the temple in year 70, which would be a minority view and certainly something very foreign to understanding of the early church, you would agree. So if you're pre-trib, post-trib, we all would agree that this is the visible second coming, not a secret rapture if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, but the visible second coming of Jesus after the tribulation of those days, right? So we would agree on that. Now it continues. Now learn the lesson. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man. Read all that. Then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, you say all this is talking about the final phase of the second coming, Jesus coming publicly for the entire world to see after the seven-year tribulation period. So that's why there are clear signs. That's why Jesus tells you exactly how it's going to unfold. So let's keep reading. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, you say, this is the pre-trib rapture. Now he's had just switched subjects. Of course, I don't believe that for a second. But now he's just switched subjects. And now he's talking about this other event that no one knows when it's coming. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Obviously, the Son while he was on the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so it would be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. Okay, so again, if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, you would say this. The first visible coming of Jesus after the tribulation has clear signs and tells us exactly what's going to happen. But rapture, no one knows the day or the hour. Could just happen. That's how you'd read that text, right? Okay, so based on that, you would say there's no sign of it. There's no anticipation. It could just happen, right? Okay, let's go over to Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke chapter 21, and see what's written there. Let's go to verse 20. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills, those in Jerusalem must get out, and those out in the country should not return to the city. For those will be days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of the scriptures will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days, for there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people. They will be killed by the sword or sent away as captives in all the nations of the world, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. So you would say, if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, that this is talking about the final destruction of Jerusalem after we've been raptured out, after we've been taken out, right? And this is the final coming of the Lord, the final phase of the second coming. Again, not my beliefs, but when I held to a pre-trib rapture, that's what I always would have understood. And there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Oh, okay. So who's he saying stand and look up? So is that talking to the church that's still there, the believers that are still there, again, talking in pre-trib terms? Or is that talking to Jewish believers that came to faith during the tribulation? Okay, let's just say it's not talking to Christians here. All right, let's just say it's talking to Jewish people who came to faith in the Messiah during the tribulation. He gave this illustration. Notice the fig tree, any other tree, when the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near it, that it goes on from there. Now, he's talking to the same people, isn't he? Verse 34, watch out, don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness, by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unawares like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Now, it becomes, I'm doing my best to read this as if I believe in a pre-trib rapture. The problem is, this verse 36, is always used to say that we should pray that we can escape these things. In other words, be raptured out in advance. Yet, of course, it's speaking to the same group of people in these verses, which would indicate that there are all kinds of visible signs and shaking and calamity and upheaval that will happen before we're taken out. Again, I don't believe it that we're going to be taken out, but those who believe it. This would seem to indicate, just reading through Luke 24, that a whole lot is going to be happening on the earth that is not happening now. Yet people will be going on with normal life in the midst of it, but a whole lot is going to happen on the earth that is not happening now before, quote, we do escape. This would seem to say there's no evidence right now that Jesus could come any minute. Okay, one last passage to look at. I'm going to make it simple and go to your calls. Oh, I got a few great YouTube comments I got to share with you as well. We will be right back. Check out this important word from our co-sponsor, Trivita.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I'm always thrilled to offer a new product from Trivita that is science-supported with equivalent doses per serving that follows the science. And that is true of our KSM 66 ashwagandha with its protective process from farm to manufacturing plant. The KSM 66 has 24 published gold standard clinical trials in reducing stress, enhancing sleep, and increased vitality. In a recent Harris poll, 87% of Americans feel stressed. I know the effects of chronic stress. It happened to me a number of years ago, and I will never forget when the physician said, Michael, you must change the way you think about life and health, or you will have no quality of life, and you will die a premature death. Now, I can assure you ashwagandha KSM 66 is in my daily diet. Trivita has a special offer of ashwagandha for you as listeners to The Line of Fire. If you buy one at $19.99, you will get one free. Plus, you'll receive your free new digital book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You, by Dr. Brown, with your order. The message of Dr. Brown in this book, it rings clear in spiritual clarity. Dr. Michael Brown shares his own story of his journey to wellness, along with his wife, Nancy, and they reveal 10 most important steps to a lasting life transformation. Whole body wellness is not a pipe dream. It is God's dream for you.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to TRIVITA.com and use promo code KSM66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, we're still looking for Bobby. Where's Bobby? You say, Bobby what? When I came into the office the other day, I was signing some books to send to some people. I'll be talking to someone, hey, I'm going to send you this book, or to a pastor, I want to send you this book. And I signed the wrong name. So I was Breaking the Stronghold of Food, the book that Nancy and I wrote, and I started to Bobby instead of to Mark. So I said, well, let's just find a Bobby to give it away to. We didn't have any Bobby on our staff here. Let's find a Bobby to give it away to. So Bobby, if you want to read this book or give it to someone you love, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, this is going to be maybe my final offer. Call in. But you got to be Bobby, 866-34-TRUTH. Or if you love a Bobby that needs this book, 866-348-7884. You won't come on the air. We'll get your info and we'll send it out to Bobby. This could be providential. All right. and listen to everybody. Make sure you get it free automatically. But when you place your order with Trivita, with our co-sponsor Trivita, you get this automatically. A mini book that Nancy and I wrote, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You, that you'll find really super, super helpful. It could just be the spark that gets you living a new way. And check out the great products that we just mentioned. But when you call, just say, hey, I'm interested in this, or I'm looking for this, or what would you recommend for this? The folks on the phone are really super helpful. And boy, we'd just love to see you get healthier, stronger, thriving in every way. Quick anecdote. So it's 800-771-5584 to chat with our friends at Tribeta. 800-771-5584. With any order of any size, you'll also get the free digital download. Or go to trivita.com, and for the new offer, use the code KSM66. So, quick anecdote. There's a friend of Nancy's who works with a doctor who is one of the foremost teachers on nutrition in the world. And he will do these retreats for those with type 2 diabetes. They will have a staff of doctors there. I don't know how long you stay, a week or 10 days. I'm not sure exactly what it is. So they're going to monitor everything very, very carefully. Obviously, it's an expensive proposition to do this. And they will now get you off all unhealthy foods, eating only healthy foods, but then monitoring your levels and everything to make sure that everything is done properly. And she said that in 1 week, she has seen more people cured of type 2 diabetes. Of course, you got to stay with that diet for life now, healthy eating. But she had seen more people cured of type 2 diabetes in 1 week than in all of her years being in charismatic churches praying for those with type 2 diabetes. Of course, God does heal and God is merciful. And type 1 diabetes needs miraculous healing. It can't be completely reversed with healthy eating, etc. But yeah, what we put in our bodies, boy, it makes a massive difference. So let us be an encouragement to you. You're going to get the digital download. Anyway, make sure you open it and read it. It's only 10,000 words, right? So with your order of Trivita, make sure you look for it in your email and then read it, enjoy it, and benefit from it. We want to make that deposit in you. That's why it's free with anything you order. Okay, one more passage to read. So here's my premise. that even if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, there's no reason to think it could just happen out of the blue. Last week, I talked about the fact that there is a plan, there is a storyline, there is something God is doing. There is something he promised to do with his people. There's something he promised to do through his people. And that is still unfolding. That is still being done. There's something he promised to do in his people. These things are still unfolding. And therefore, it's just like if you're watching a football game and there are four quarters to the game, and each quarter is 15 minutes of actual playing time, the refs don't just blow the whistle 7 minutes into the third quarter, and that's it. Game's over. No, no. There is a schedule. It's a baseball game, right? Nine innings, three outs per inning, etc. So it doesn't just stop. Here in the middle of the pitch, just stop. So God has a plan. God has a purpose. There's something he's doing that he's going to bring to completion before Jesus takes us out, for those who believe in a pre-trib rapture. And as I understand it, before he returns to the clouds and we're caught up to meet him and descend together with him. So the question again is, what does Scripture say about this? Now, we all know that we don't know when we're going to die. Unless someone practices euthanasia and takes their own life or commits suicide, then we don't know when we're going to die. And therefore, we are always ready to meet the Lord. In other words, I don't need an any-minute rapture to get me ready to meet the Lord, because I want to live ready to meet the Lord, because we don't know how long we're here. And I love him. I want to please him, period. Whether I'm going to live 100 years or 70 years, I love him. I want to please him and honor him. And I live with urgency because I only have one life. And there's so much I want to do for him. And so many people want to help and touch. So back to Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You ready? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's just talked about the return of the Lord. We're going to meet him in the air. So we all agree we're going to meet him in the air. The question is, does he turn around and go back to heaven, or do we turn around and escort him back to earth? Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, he's just referred to the return of Jesus. About times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So, boom, suddenly, you believe in a pre-trib rapture, we're out of here, judgment is coming on the earth, all hell, chaos breaks loose. People won't be expecting it, right? But look at what he writes. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to day, the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Which I understand, not saying we won't go through the tribulation, but saying that because we're God's people and children of the light, we're not going to hell. We're not going to suffer his wrath, but rather salvation through his son, Jesus. But here's the point. Here's the point. We're children of the day. We're not children of the night. Jesus doesn't come as a thief in the night for us. That unexpected, when you're not waiting for it, you say, well, isn't the whole exhortation to live a life that is alert and ready? Yes, yes, absolutely. But that's the thing. If we are, it won't just catch us unaware. And we're to say, while everyone's saying peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. That's not the state of the world now. The state of the world is not everyone saying peace and safety. The state of the world is not lulled into a false sense of security. The whole world's on edge. It could be a nuclear war people fear, or meltdown because of global warming, or who knows what China's going to do, or is America going to implode? And it's anything but peace and safety and like, oh, okay, everything's all right. Boom, and then suddenly destruction comes. No, it's not the case. It is not the case. So. Here is the deal. I just want to encourage you, even if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, don't live and say, I missed it. If you're walking in the light, if you're honoring the Lord and seeking to please Him, not a perfect life, but seeking to please Him and honor Him, you're walking in the life, it won't overtake you like a thief. It will. Oh, this one moment, I thought a bad thought about somebody, but then I missed the rapture. Don't live like that. Now, some of you say, "Of course, I don't live like that." Good. But some do. So understand, we're God's children. We're members of His family, and He will share His heart with us in His will and His wisdom. It's nowhere does the New Testament say calculate, figure out this prophetic this that. Nowhere, not a hint of it. Nowhere. But it does tell us to live with readiness and expectation. And if we walk as children of the light and we put on that armor of the day and of the light, that day will not take us unawares. Be assured by the word. Going straight to the phones. We come back. Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it, and the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear. Testimony after testimony is leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, real quick. I said I was going straight to the phones, super quick. I also said I was going to do this first. Okay, these slides. Let's put up the first one. These are some of the highlight, low light comments on YouTube. This was someone commenting on my article about Yah being God's name, and he says, you don't know Hebrew, biblical, and Torah grammar. Aside from the fact it's actually biblical Hebrew, not Hebrew biblical, and grammar is spelled with an A-R, not E-R. You know what's funny about that is when I was in college, I started taking Hebrew classes immediately, but it was modern Hebrew. I wasn't interested in modern Hebrew. That's why my modern Hebrew is still weak. I don't speak modern Hebrew well. I hear it even less well. I can write it better. So I asked a rabbi who had befriended me about biblical Hebrew. So he He recommended a grammar. It's actually a very technical grammar, not the easiest way to learn. So I taught myself biblical Hebrew using Thomas Lambden's grammar of biblical Hebrew. And I took modern Hebrew classes as well. But that's the funny thing. My expertise is in biblical Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, old Hebrew. And my modern Hebrew is much weaker. But this was an even, I don't know if it's better, equally good, maybe sadder. Let's throw this next slide up. Can you make it a little bigger, guys? Because I was actually reading it for myself here. If not, I'll tell you what the guy said in the slide. It won't be verbatim. So it was my video where we demolished the idea that... Oh, hang on. I got my glasses here. I'm going to put my glasses on. Look at this. Like the doctor's office just got clear. So is my video debunking the idea that the Hebrew letters in the Bible still had a hidden pictographic meaning? Okay. So actually, Dr. Brown has been proven wrong by the Dead Sea Scrolls that are written in the Paleo-Hebrew, containing the Paleo-Hebrew oldest copies of Old Testament. This guy's false teacher. So first, by speaking the truth about demolishing this myth about alleged Paleo meaning, etc., alleged pictographic meaning in the earliest form of the Hebrew language, which as written is called Paleo. It's not spoken, it's as written. It's just the old script. It's all Paleo. Paleo is the old script. So by just clarifying that from a viewpoint of historic Semitic languages and grammar and development and alphabets, etc., I'm now a false teacher. But the funny thing is, and the sad thing, is it's based on 100% ignorance. We all know that there are parts of Dead Sea Scrolls written in Old Hebrew script, the Paleo-Hebrew, right? So hundreds of years after it wasn't used regularly, there were some manuscripts written there. Yeah, we all know that. Which means what? If I write something in Old English lettering today, does that mean I live in the days of King James? I mean, what does it even mean? And what's that got to do with an alleged original pictograph meaning? In fact, it would be the exact opposite. Because the letters hardly resemble an alleged ancient pictograph, and we know for sure, without any question possibly whatsoever, that the letters there were not pictographs, they're just letters. So it completely refuted his argument. So what troubles me, I mean, I smile just because, what are you going to do? But it pains me, because that's somebody who really believes that, and that I want to help, and help grow in the Lord, and help get more solid in the Word. But because of his misunderstandings and the environment he's in, now I'm quote a false teacher. So that's what hurts me. And that's probably a brother in the Lord, just or a sister, just ignorant. I'd love to help them. So we'll keep trying though. We'll keep working at it and we will keep trying. Okay, let's get over to Neo in Chicago. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, I wanted to say something about the rapture and then ask a question.
All right. Well, tell you what, why don't you ask the question first? How's that?
Okay. Are you up for debates like you did with Guerrilla Hebrew? Are people able to debate you when you have free time? Whatever.
Yes. Yeah, so we get endless requests for debates. So here's what I try to do. First, my schedule is tight, and to do a debate right, you have to take serious time to get ready for it. But here's the deal. What we do, sir, is this. It has to be someone who is recognized by their community for it to be a fair debate, right? Like anyone can call my show and challenge me on anything anytime. You could do that right now. That'd be great. But to do a formal debate, if I was to, as I use it as an analogy, get into a ring with a heavyweight boxing champ, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder or something, the only question would be how many seconds before they knocked me out and they would, I might die, right? It's no contest. So if I go to debate, say, Professor Richard Dawkins on biology, he's going to demolish me because I'm not a biologist. In the same way, if someone comes to debate me that's not qualified and recognized by the community and I demolish them, what good did it do? So Guerrilla Hebrew, a recognized leader in the Sakari camp, even though we have profound differences, he was a recognized leader. I opened the door to do a debate. So that door remains open. So if it's someone who's a recognized leader in the Hebrew Israelite community or in the Muslim world or something, and we can agree on the subject and find a schedule, absolutely. I love doing debates. I think they're very helpful. So what do you have in mind, sir?
Well, I know a man who called your show before. I know Lord Jehovah Holy Ghost. I know that he's 500-0 in Bible debates. I know that he's beaten Tazariak of ISUPK, and I do know that he knows Vocab Malone.
Well, he's not 500-0 in debates. That's a myth. That's a complete myth.
Well, him and Tazariak were talking about it when Tazariak crossed the line.
No, that's, it's a complete myth. The gentleman who, let me say this, under no circumstances would I debate him because everything he says is complete nonsense in terms of his claims and words and identity, etc. Complete nonsense. And that's a complete myth that he's 500-0 in debate. It's 100% myth. Guaranteed 100% myth, except maybe in his own mind, sadly.
So one of the debates on YouTube.
Why would I bother? Why would I bother? To prove
well,
what?
I just know him from a streaming app, and I know that he's had a debate on YouTube, and he's beaten everybody that I've seen him debate.
Right. Okay, here's the deal. In your opinion, he's beaten them. There is not a syllable he could say having to do with who God is, who he is, what the Bible says, where he will stand any chance with anyone who knows the word at all. Forget me. Anyone who knows the word at all. It's a complete myth. And even his... So to play... Why would I give it any credibility? Why would I even do that? I'd gladly expose if he called in... He called the show, and within a few minutes, sir, it was a complete waste of time. And there was no reason to bother going any further. It was a complete waste of time, a waste of my listeners' precious time.
Well, he came back to the streaming app, and he told us that he corrected you, and he also is speaking about his book, Holy Bible Matrix, Christ versus Satan, that's been plagiarized by an author.
So, Neil, here's the deal. I'm just going to jump in here as not to waste more time. I do not have time for myths and fables, nor will I give credence or credibility to it. Let him put out 40,000 videos rebutting me and now say that he's 40,000-0. May the Lord deliver him and you, sir, from this deception. May a spirit of truth prevail. Now, when it comes to, say, the 12-tribe chart, do I say it's completely bogus? Absolutely. I know that offends Hebrew Israelites. I say it's completely bogus. That remains my position. However, I put out an invitation and had a legitimate debate with Gorilla Hebrew over it, right? We put out an invitation. He stepped forward. He was a recognized leader. And we've interacted since, okay? But there's a line that we draw. Look, I even had a guy, a lot of them called in because he claimed to be Christ incarnate or God incarnate. I actually had let him call in and asked a series of questions until it was, okay, enough is enough. But I think we went far enough here. Hey, you got to plug the guy's book, right? But the moment, all you have to do with any balloon is you stick a pin in it. So the pin 500-0 debates, bing, goodbye, myth, nonsense. May the Lord deliver from deception. Let's go over to Mark in York, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Yeah, by the way, was the guy that just called, was Neo the guy that just called? Well, let's do a forensic analysis. But who do we, I mean, I was wondering that at a certain point. Sorry, Mark, to bring you on and then cut you off. But go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
I'm trying not to laugh too hard.
It's all right. It's all right. But by the way, I did a debate real fast because I'm looking at the clock here before our break. I agreed to do a debate with this Muslim guy. It wasn't a debate. His organization contacted us and said that they were going to send us someone that just wanted to do a dialogue and learn what we believe, etc. It was the guy. He actually had a fake website. Did the whole thing to pose as somebody. He'd come on. It was unbelievable. I mean, the level of ruse and deception. Most Muslims are not going to do that, but he did. I mean, he brought a bad name to Islam. But anyway, so we've had, it's like, this sounds a little familiar here. So, all right, Mark, go over to you, but you can laugh. It's okay.
So I'm actually calling on the book that you said that you signed the wrong name.
Yeah.
About healthy eating.
Yeah.
And my father's name is Robert.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to reach out and say, you know, if Robert fits in the Bobby category and
okay, I'll tell you, if he doesn't mind, if he doesn't go by Bobby, but this is close enough, right? But you think it would be helpful, stay right there, Mark, okay? And as soon as our call screener gets a second, they're going to come over and get your address, and then your father's address, you just, whichever one you want it to be, it'll be signed to Bobby, and maybe I'll add Robert to it, and we will send it out with joy. May the Lord use it to be a blessing. So we are going to change gears. We're going to change gears. Sorry, I can't get to all your calls. You'll understand why momentarily we're changing gears. Something very, very interesting I'm going to talk to you about. But as always, we try to remember callers that hold and we don't get to. And at the end of the week, call on a Friday, we try to bump you up and get to you earlier. So hopefully we'll have a lot more time to take your calls and interact. One more word from our co-sponsor, Trivita. All right, so Truth, if you could go on and get Mark's address, we want to send that book out to his dad, Robert, now Bobby. We'll be right back.
Are you stressed and searching for a natural way to restore balance in your life? Look no further. Introducing Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, nature's science-supported secret to inner harmony and well-being. I'm Dr. Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita. I want you to know that Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 is not just ashwagandha. Ashwagandha KSM-66 undergoes a rigorous formulation process and has 22 gold standard clinical trials. Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 adaptogenic properties assist your body in adapting to stress, reducing fatigue, and restoring your natural balance. Ashwagandha's KSM-66 is shown to support cognitive function, mental clarity, and focus, and is shown to promote deep and restful sleep, so you can wake up feeling rejuvenated and ready to take on the day. Trivita has a special offer for you, the listeners of Dr. Brown's Line of Fire broadcast. Buy one 30-day supply of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, and you will receive an additional 30-day supply for free. Plus, you will receive a free digital copy of Dr. Brown's new book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You. Don't wait any longer. Join countless others who have discovered the benefits of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM-66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to TRIVITA.com and use promo code KSM-66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Oh, all right. If you happen to be watching on YouTube or Facebook, you're perceptive. You notice that I'm wearing a different shirt than the rest of the show. And you may even remember it was the shirt I had on yesterday. So what happened? Well, what happened is that I have an earlier flight today to Denver, speaking Thursday night in the greater Denver area, and then flying over to Louisiana to minister for the weekend. All the itineraries on the website, sdrbrown.org, or on your app. Scroll down and find itinerary. And if you get our emails, you would know exactly where I'm going if I'm coming in your area, because we shoot you a note saying, hey, I'm going to be in your area. This way you don't have to even follow the itinerary, because we'll let you know when we're coming your way. So anyway, normally the procedure is, flights are certain times of the day, and almost always I can get a flight after my radio show. Head straight out to the airport after the radio, or wait half hour, then head out, etc. Today's flight is just a little bit earlier, and to play it safe, we said we'll pre-record this last segment, so I'm not taking any calls, not here to take your call, but I just want to give you that background. Of course, you're listening. It's like, what do I care? It's the same voice, same person. I understood. But yeah, we tell it like it is. We give you the information here. I want to transition to something really, really interesting. One of the Republican candidates, becoming better known now, is an Indian. So from India, an Indian. He is, I don't know where he was born. I've never followed him carefully. One of my colleagues said, hey, it's a lot of interesting stuff he has to say, but I haven't listened to him, followed him carefully at all. Vivek Ramaswamy. And he's a Hindu, but he's a Hindu monotheist. You say, how can that be? Hindus worship millions of gods, literally millions of gods. And I've been to India 28 times, and the polytheism, the idolatry is everywhere. However, some will just speak about God. I was speaking to a Hindu neighbor the other day, and he just referenced God. Sometimes God works like this, etc. So for many, they would say that there are different manifestations of the one God, but there's only one God. So in that sense, there is a Hindu monotheism, obviously works itself out differently than a Jewish or Christian or Islamic monotheism. But I find it fascinating that not just he's Republican, but some of the things that he has to say, you think, isn't that interesting that there's a Hindu monotheist calling America back to God? So I just want to share something interesting with you. One of my friends gets his emails, and he sent me this, very, very solid, believing friend. He sent me this, and it was an email sent out by Vivek Ramaswamy, and it was entitled 10 Truths, No Lies. 10 truths, no lies. Are you ready for the 10 truths? And let me just read what he says in the introduction of the email. Truth, there's only one, not yours, not mine, just pure truth. Let's see, it's just getting cut off on my screen here. There we go. In today's bureaucratic political climate, where spin is all the administrative state knows how to do, we stand by cold, hard facts. I'm not afraid to say them. So this is Republican candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Here are his 10 truths, no lies. Remember, he's a Hindu, but Hindu monotheist. Number one, God is real. This is the first of his 10 truths. Now, at the end of the email, he says, America was founded on these truths that we find sacred and undeniable. Without these truths, our standing as a nation would mean nothing. And then, you know, an appeal to support his candidacy. All right? So it's quite interesting for a Hindu to be saying these things, especially as Hindus were not a key part of the founding of America. All people from all religions have been welcomed to America, but obviously Hinduism is not at the foundation of America, but he recognizes the reality of God as a foundation. So here are his 10 truths. One, God is real. Two, there are two genders. He's just laying it out, just putting it out. And maybe, friends, because he's Hindu, he won't be attacked the same way a Christian would be attacked for saying this, or even a Jewish candidate would be attacked for saying this, but especially a conservative Christian. You're just a Christian nationalist. Well, Ramaswamy is obviously not a Christian nationalist. And by the way, I'm not saying any of this with any hint of we should support or vote. I'm not endorsing a candidate. I'm not saying anything pro or con about him. I'm just talking about how interesting it is that he's putting this forward. All right. And for those that want to know where I stand politically, that's not my comment is very kingdom of God oriented. All right. I will not be endorsing a candidate. We'll be analyzing things from a kingdom perspective, but I'm going to be doing my best right up, God willing, as we live and have breath, right up through the 2024 elections to be helping us keep our eyes on Jesus and not get into a political frenzy and make wise choices and vote wisely. All right, so number one, God is real. Number two, there are two genders. Imagine that that's even controversial. Either of these is controversial. Number three, human flourishing requires fossil fuels. Number four, reverse racism is racism. So he's saying this as a very small minority in America, as a man from India or an Indian background, and as a Hindu. Number four, an open border is no border. It is interesting. What is a border, right? Number six, parents determine the education of their children. Think that is now controversial. Number seven, the nuclear family is the greatest form of governance known to mankind. Number eight, capitalism lifts people up from poverty. Of course, India has made massive steps in terms of economic growth in recent decades and is absolutely capitalistic. And with many advocating socialism or Marxism or thinking that that's the way to go, I mean, it's failed on a national level 100% of the time when it's been thoroughly and fully implemented. Any large-scale nation that's done that, it's ended up with evils and with communism, etc. And even those that are in more socialistic type countries in Scandinavia will point out that the operation there is very different than how things would operate in America, and there's still capitalism within those countries. But interesting that he has to put that out as well. Number nine, there are three branches of the U.S. government, not four. Maybe it's totally obvious. Some of you are listening, like, yeah, perfect. I like that. I don't know what that one means. I don't know what the fourth branch is. What are people making into the fourth branch? It's obviously something obvious that I'm missing. But anyway, we just passed by that one. Number 10, the U.S. Constitution is the strongest guarantor of freedoms in history. It is because of the principles of the Constitution that freedom ended up coming to people who were enslaved. So, very interesting to me to watch this develop. And it would be very interesting to see the degree to which God becomes a major part of the political debate. Now, I want to point out a positive and a negative. The positive is we need God. The positive is without God, we're sunk as a nation. The positive is that there is as much, there's a lot of truth from God in our history, in our foundations, and it is valuable truth and it's important truth. And just the idea that we have inalienable rights for pursuit of liberty and happiness, where does that come from? How do we have these rights? Well, we have them because of the Creator. So these are foundations for human flourishing. And to the degree we get away from them, to that degree we do not flourish. To that degree we decay. To that degree we rot. To that degree we fall apart. So, for sure, without question, there is it is foundationally important for everyone, preachers, business people, politicians, to say America needs God, right? If atheists don't like that, they don't have to vote for those candidates or support those businesses or go to those venues. It's their business. That's their call. Just like a candidate may run as an atheist, and many believers say, I couldn't vote for that person. Perfectly, that's a democratic republic. But I'm saying it's good that there is talk about God, and it is no surprise that the Democratic Party platform, which is so pro-abortion and pro-LGBTQ activism in its most extreme forms, and often weak when it comes to Israel, it's no surprise that it is basically a godless platform. In other words, God's not mentioned. Religion may be mentioned once in terms of freedom of religion, but otherwise it is absolutely not revolving around that. That's bad. That's negative. The problem, the downside is when we politicize God. The problem is when we make God the appendage of a political party. So, yes, it's very true that the Democrat platform and many of the positions are godless, missing God. The Republican Party is not God's party. Even though I vote Republican because of issues and things like that, the Republican Party is not God's party. And there's corruption and sin and flesh there, and this political system and the political games, and they exist on all sides. And it's not up to politics. It's not up to a political party to bring the nation back to God. That's up to the church. And hopefully the church can operate through all parties effectively and make an impact in all different ways. The point is that God and politics, when you try to mix them together, it gets toxic. Politics looking to God, politics influenced by God, politics fearing and honoring God, that's a good thing. Politics joined with God as if the political cause is the cause of God, or as if you can vote for God. No, that's when it becomes a problem. We're trying to enforce it on the masses. But here, coming from a Hindu, it's extremely fascinating to me.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.